There's a cross in Bladensburg, Maryland, that has a death sentence on it. It's a memorial cross. It was built in 1925 to honor 49 men who died serving their country, our country, in World War I. And the humanists say, tear down that cross. As of this recording, this is being made on the afternoon of February 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2019, this very day, the First Liberty people came to the U.S. Supreme Court and battled with the American Humanist Association in reference to that Bladensburg cross. With us on the phone right now is Jeremy Dice, who's been covering this story for years. He's not just been covering it, he's been arguing in court on behalf of the cross. He's Deputy General Counsel for First Liberty. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Jeremy, so great to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, go ahead and wax eloquent. I think we've already known a little bit about the cross because you've told us in previous programs. Tell us what happened on this day at the Supreme Court.
Well, today the Supreme Court heard oral argument in this case, and the case is, of course, over a World War I veterans memorial. But the real crux of the legal matter here is over a test that the court announced in a case almost 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago, as a matter of fact, almost 50 years ago. And that test has really proved to become unworkable. And what I think we've seen the justices talk about today on the court,
the Lemon test,
is the Lemon test, that's right. The Lemon test seems to be an unworkable test now. It's leading to just silly results. But they're struggling with what test to adopt now. We propose that they simply review the matters, and if the government is found to be coercing people into some sort of religious belief or behavior, then that goes too far. That's something that is against the First Amendment. But that is a far cry from where we have been. And so I think for now, I think we're going to see a case that is going to result in the Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial being protected. But just how far that protection extends beyond Bladensburg is something that we're yet to see.
Okay, so here's what I don't understand, and I've been covering the story a little bit. As I understand it, initially when the cross was built, it was not seen necessarily in the public or by the public, certainly by a wide audience. But then later in the 60s, a highway was made, and then all of a sudden this cross is seen by, you know, lots of people. And the part that's unclear to me is who owned the land in the first place, who owns it to this day. And so what are your thoughts in terms of, you know, that, and what are the constitutional issues to bear?
Yeah, well, the property is once the memorial was erected on American Legion property initially in 1925, but at some point in the 1960s, the state of Maryland took ownership of the property in order to expand the highway that was running beside it. And so today it sits on public property. And one solution that's offered to this whole situation is that we simply make a swap of land. Someone gets to have the private land there, we'll take public land somewhere else. But the problem with that is that in Maryland, you can't have private property in a state-owned median. It just isn't something that they allow, nor would it be really very feasible. So that's not a very good solution. So you really have to get at the crux of, what is this case going to stand for? Are we going to be able to knock down this memorial because it's simply a cross-shaped veterans memorial on public property? Or do we allow that to stand? Nobody is debating that this is a Christian symbol or a religious symbol. That's inarguable. It's a cross, and everybody sees that. The question is whether or not the presence of that religious symbol on public property violates the Constitution. We argue that just because it is a religious symbol does not mean we have to tear it down or hide it from public view. It's simply a passive memorial, a passive display that does nothing to anyone to convince them or coerce them into any type of religious behavior or belief.
You know, it's so funny. When you were just giving me that answer just now, you used this phraseology for one part of it. You said the crux of the issue is dot, 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 dot. And I just want to point out that that word crux is derived from the Latin, and ultimately that means cross, as in the cross of Jesus Christ. I mean, Christianity, the Bible have had such an incredible, profound impact on our culture, even in terms of language, and people don't even realize that.
It's very true, and most especially, talk about impact here. There were 49 mothers who lost 49 sons way back in 1919, and they wanted to honor their memory there. And yet we would to this day say that, well, it doesn't matter what they felt like at the time. that memorial is now unconstitutional and needs to be destroyed. That simply cannot be the case. And if it is the case, I'm not sure that's the America that I want to live in any longer.
I understand that a George Barna survey found that the vast majority of Americans support the cross, this specific cross.
That's right. That's extremely encouraging. And not only do they support the cross, George Barna, of course, the famous pollster, found that 84% of Americans support this memorial.
That's high.
More telling, though, is that only 2% would want to see it destroyed or altered or otherwise desecrated. That's even more encouraging to me, that not only is there a high support, but there's actually a great emptiness of those who would want to tear it down. My hope is that the nine justices of the Supreme Court are in the first camp and not the latter.
Okay, so tell me about what actually happened in the courtroom. Did any of the justices ask some peppered questions? Who was arguing the case on behalf of First Liberty? I guess Monica Miller was doing it on behalf of the humanists.
That's right. And there were three people arguing on the side of the memorial itself. One was someone on behalf of the Maryland Parks Commission there, and that was Neil Cahill, who's a former Solicitor General under President Obama. He made that argument for them. Then there was a gentleman from the Solicitor General's office. The Associate Solicitor General was bringing the argument there as well, speaking in support of the memorial on behalf of the United States of America. That's really great support to have. We brought in a gentleman by the name of Mike Carvin over at Jones Day, one of the largest law firms in the world, to argue on behalf of the American Legion, who was the ones that, of course, erected this memorial in the first place. And yes, there was a hot bench there today. Lots of questions being asked. A lot of justices trying to figure out exactly what this test that we proposed would actually mean and how it would, in fact, operate. And so I think you're going to have now the justices are done asking the questions. All the briefs have been written. They're going to go back to their conference room on Friday, and just the nine of them sit there and talk and perhaps argue about the case and figure out what the vote is going to be at the end of the day.
I imagine you've got some interesting Friends of the Court briefs.
Yes, we did, yeah. There were 38 different Friends of the Court briefs filed in this case in support of the American Legion. So we are very grateful for the great friends around the country, states, and organizations everywhere that say, look, this is important not just for the American Legion, but for us too. One of the ones I found the most interesting, though, was the descendants of the memorial itself. These were nephews and nieces of the men who had died during World War I. Yeah. And they said, look, this is our uncle's gravestone. This is something that we look at, we drive by regularly and say, that is where they know he's not actually buried there, but they view that as his gravestone. Something that personal, something that real, we sometimes forget how personal it actually is and just see it as a bunch of concrete and rebar. But this, to the people who survived these men, is something real and active. And I can tell you this, the men and women of the American Legion, almost 2 million of them nationwide, they view it as a slap in the face that anyone would even consider tearing off its arms or otherwise tearing down this memorial. We cannot allow that type of desecration.
On the American Humanist Association website, they had a kind of a questions and answers, and they said something like this: every day that goes by that cross still stands, non-Christians who have to drive by that cross are deeply offended. Something to that effect. Your thoughts?
Well, the First Amendment has no guarantee that people in this country will be free of being offended. That is just simply not a right that is out there. What the First Amendment prohibits is the government actually establishing religion or coercing its citizens into some sort of religious belief or behavior. This memorial being passive, just standing there, does nothing other than to remind anybody who drives by that there were 49 men from that county who volunteered to go to war and died in defense of this country. That's something that is worthy of remembering, and if we forget it, it's because we've probably torn this memorial down and chosen to forget that they ever existed.
You want to say anything about some of the justices at the Supreme Court in terms of any questions or comments that they made during the actual arguments?
Well, I think the justices were just simply trying to figure out exactly where the holes were in the arguments that were being presented. And it's really hard to judge from the questions that are being asked, just where they're going with it. Sometimes they'll ask completely off-the-wall questions just to see how you respond to it all. But it was clear that the bench was taking this matter seriously and trying to figure out exactly where, if in fact we abandon Lemon, where do we go from here?
All right. Any comment about what the humanist side said in the Supreme Court arguments today?
I don't think there's anything too terribly surprising. Again, they just simply advocate that this is offensive to them and that it is, in fact, they believe, an establishment of religion to have a monument that it was put there by mothers of sons who died in World War One in the shape of a cross. And they forget why the shape of the cross was there in the first place. And it's good to be reminded of that. The reason these mothers chose that shape of a memorial is that it reminded them of the gravestones that their sons were buried under over in Europe. And so that's where they got that idea. It was a symbol to them of service and sacrifice. And that is what it is today, to remind us visually that these men gave everything, the last full measure of devotion, to the cause of freedom.
If the Bladensburg Cross loses, are there implications for other memorials, such as something we might find in Arlington Cemetery?
Indeed. Look, if this decision is not overturned, you're not only going to find the Bladensburg Memorial being somehow altered, destroyed, or desecrated. You're going to see that bulldozer that takes care of it there go all the way across the river to Arlington National Cemetery and knock over memorials like the Argonne Cross, the Canadian Cross of Sacrifice. You may even have to scratch off the words on the edge of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier that say, "Here lies someone who's known but to God." That's the type of thing that we're talking about. But that's just there in the Fourth Circuit and Virginia, Maryland area. What about the rest of the country and the hundreds of memorials just like this one? Those all stand in jeopardy as well.
All right. I imagine we should all pray about this, because there's strong implications for this, you know. And when do you expect a decision? Probably like at the end of the term, right? Because usually they wait for the controversial ones at the very end.
Yeah, I think it's way it's structured in this term here, too. We'll get a decision certainly by the end of June, and probably towards the end of June itself when that will come out. But in the meantime, yes, people can pray about this decision, that the justices would have some great wisdom and what they need to consider as they go back into their chambers and write and debate. But also, I would encourage folks to go to firstliberty.org and sign the petition that we have there to show your support and stand with the American Legion like they did today outside the Supreme Court of the United States.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right, Jeremy Dice with First Liberty, firstliberty.org. Thanks so much, Jeremy. God bless you.
Thank you.